He held out a six-fingered hand. Tag grasped the mechanic's fingers. The alien didn't shake with the same gusto Tag was used to from other humans. Corrin's grip barely clasped Tag's, feeling more light and delicate than Tag had expected. Truly, this was a species that needed its technology. Tag realized he would not have any problem overpowering the mechanic as long as the alien didn't don his power suit. He felt a slight sense of ease knowing this. And if worse came to worse, he'd already dispatched three of them in armor. He could handle this one. He stood straighter, ready to lead them back to the ship. They just needed transportation to get there. "My air car's a wreck now," Tag said. "Do you have any vehicles we can take?" "We have a few transports," Corrin said, "but we won't need them. There's no way we're getting to the Argo by foot." "Don't worry. I plan on having the air car repaired and ready to go." Corrin ducked out the door and departed without another word before Tag could respond. "How long's that gonna take? The car was leaking atmosphere when I left it." "My guess is not long," Sophia said. "There's a reason I call them the mechanics." Tag couldn't stand leaving their fate to an alien species he still distrusted. "So what do we do in the meantime?" "If I'm leaving this planet, I've got to say goodbye to the Forents," she said. "They'll want to know of my departure along with yours and Corrin's. Want to come with?" Tag gave her a non-committal shrug. "They won't be hoisting me over a live volcano again, will they?"
"No, that's a one-time treat."
She led him from her hut and into the forest. Humidity hung thick in the air, reminding Tag of his suffocating midday heat in his native Houston, old USA, in the SRE. Only instead of towering structures of glass and steel, the evanescent glow of the plants, enormous trees, and other life forms surrounded him. Sophia's and his boots slapped the damp earth on a sodden trail. After a while, Tag forced thoughts of Corrin from his mind and the haunting images of the damaged Argo and her dead crew faded away for a brief moment. The short reprieve proved long enough for him to find himself wishing he could revel in this new world. It was a landscape built from the seeds of dreams and grown in the garden of an artist's mind. But the faraway thump of the massive drum prevented any revelry from taking hold. "Do they ever turn that thing off?" Tag asked. "No," Sophia said. "You get used to it." Tag cringed as they drew nearer to the waterfall and the enormous drumhead again, retracing their path from earlier. "I can't imagine spending much time near it."
"That's the idea," Sophia said. "Wouldn't ward off the ice gods if it wasn't loud."
"So that's the myth, huh? The drum keeps the cold outside."
"Not exactly," Sophia said. "The Forents know the volcanoes bring in the warmth, but they tell me it's not the temperatures they're worried about. The ice gods supposedly would be perfectly happy in a sauna if you'd let them in, but the Forents say the drums keep the gods in the cold, so the icy world outside is their prison."
"You ever see an ice god?" Tag ducked under a low-hanging branch. He expected Sophia to laugh, but her face remained serious.
"No, and from what the Forents tell me, I pray I never do."
"Think the ice gods are as dangerous as the mechanics?"
"The mechanics aren't dangerous." Sophia paused in the middle of the path. "Not these ones. Far from it. They're on our side. Or rather, they want to be on our side."
"You must believe me. You've got to believe Corrin." Sophia turned around and they carried on in silence. Was her assessment of the mechanics at all true? Maybe her lack of human interaction had left her wanting in the social relations department. And it had been easy for Corrin to manipulate her to believe his story. Tag wasn't sure what to make of the woman. Her hair, though long, appeared brushed and untangled. Flecks of paint still hung to her skin as she strode over a rotting log. She might have spent years in this strange, expansive cave ecosystem, but if she scrubbed the paint off, she could fit right in aboard an SRE ship. She hadn't adopted any exotic accent or foreign mannerisms. For all Tag knew, she'd communicated only with aliens since her arrival on ETA-5. He'd heard fleet-wide stories of extraterrestrial anthropologists who became so engrossed in the cultures they studied that they'd refused to reintegrate into human society. But Sophia didn't seem to be one of them. She seemed well-adjusted,
resilient. His initial suspicions that she might be easy prey for Corin's manipulations were contradicted by Sophia's professional demeanor. He found himself wanting to understand her better, see if setting her at ease with him would prove more fruitful. Breaking the silence, he tried a new tack. "Will you miss ETA-5? "This planet? No," she said. "And as much as I enjoyed learning about the Forinths and spending my days talking to the mechanics, I'm ready for human interaction again. Plus, I've got about 1 billion books I could write on these people now." "Will you?" Her brow furrowed and some of the remaining white paint flaked off with the deep creases. "I suppose I really should. Who knows what the SRE plans to do with this planet once I submit my reports?"
"And after they find out about the mechanics," Tag said.
"Yeah,"
Sophia replied almost dreamily. Her eyes glazed over as if she were lost in introspection. A soft melody drifting from the trees seemed to break the spell. Tag watched her lips press together and she hummed 3 long, haunting notes. An equally eerie song whispered back, and a nearby tree trunk appeared to flicker as a Forinth's chameleon-like skin shed its camouflage coloring. It took a step forward and reached out 4 of its arms. A melodic song flowed from its beaked mouth as 2 large sacks under its head billowed and shrank with the ephemeral music. Sophia stretched her arms to meet the Forinth, and her voice rose in chorus with it. Several more appeared, gleaming into existence, and their songs joined in with each other, producing truly otherworldly music. Something tickled in Tag's chest. Reverence, nostalgia, and other strange feelings flooded him. The music overcame him, trickling past all his defenses, and he cursed himself at once for succumbing to the tune. He tried to remain stolid and unmoving, but found it almost impossible. His thoughts and emotions were like computer software, and the song of these people provided the programming. Finally, their voices quieted, and all but one melded into the woods. Once again unseen and unheard. The remaining Forinth glided forward over its multitude of tentacled legs, holding out a leather hide. A perplexed expression crossed Sophia's face. She took the hide, clutching it close to her chest, and the Forinth disappeared. Her face retained a shell-shocked look as she spun and walked next to Tag. Bird-like chatter sounded overhead. The distant pulse of the giant drum continued and water gurgled nearby, but Sophia said nothing. "What just happened?" Tag asked. "That music, it affected you, didn't it?" It wasn't really a question, and Tag didn't need to provide an answer. She knew. "Their language is unlike any we've documented in other species. Instead of letters or syllables, they use rhythms and notes and tones." "Music," Tag offered.
"Yeah," Sophia said, a half grin on her face. "It's beautiful, isn't it?"
"Sure." Also a bit disconcerting.
"It took me a while to get accustomed to it, but you were probably feeling the same emotions the Forinth conveyed when we spoke."
They reached her makeshift home. She ushered him inside and draped the hide over the table.
"So what did he say?"
"He wished me well on my journey. He warned me the planet's spirits were getting restless." She nodded toward the leathery fabric, and he gave me an incredible gift. Tag pinched a small fold of it between his thumb and forefinger. The hide changed colors to a bright blue, and he let it go in shock.
"What is it?"
"The hide of what the Forinths call a spirit ox. Eating the animals is what gives the Forinths their color-changing abilities. There's some enzyme in the flesh that..." The door to the hut opened and Corin burst through. This time his face no longer looked so stern and statue-like. His eyes were wide, and he seemed to be panting.
"We need to leave. Now."
Chapter 36. Tag's heart jumped at the mechanic's earnestness, but he couldn't help the skepticism pouring through him. What if this was a trap, a ploy by Corin to throw him off guard?
"What's going on?"
One of our scouting team's sensor arrays caught the grab signal of a small vessel.
You mean a ship slipped through the stratosphere? Sophia asked.
Exactly, Corin said. If I had to guess, they're looking for you. He pointed an accusing finger at Tag.
You're sure about this? Tag asked.
Absolutely. The signature matches that of one of our exploratory vessels, similar in size to your Argo.
The implications rang clear in Tag's mind. A small cutter had blasted the Argo from space. A mechanic ship as large as the Argo would ensure the Argo never returned to space.
Would it be safer waiting for the ship to get bored and leave?
We're safe underground, and the Argo's probably buried deep enough to escape a sensor read.
Maybe your ship would escape human technology, Corin said derisively, but the same can't be said for the mechanic tech.
Tag wanted to glare, but everything he'd experienced told him Corin probably wasn't bluffing.
Fine. What's their location?
They're about 2,000 clicks south of here. If we leave now, we might be able to return to your ship undetected. I'll restore your AI and we can get the repair bots functioning. Then we'll return to your people and send a rescue fleet back here for mine.
I can't make any promises about a rescue fleet. I don't speak for the rest of the SRE, Tag said.
Corin nodded, twisting his fingers together.
I understand, but we won't be able to find out for sure until we get off this planet. With luck, we'll be in the air within the day.
Corin's words lingered in Tag's mind.
With luck?
Luck had barely been on his side so far, and he wasn't sure how much longer even that would last.
Then let's not waste any time. Sophia, are you ready?
Sophia grabbed a small bag and scooped several data cubes into it along with the spirit ox hide.
Let's go.
Corin raced from the hut, taking long, loping strides. Tag struggled to keep pace. They reached the mechanic's makeshift village, and the gleaming metal of the air car caught his eyes. The damaged rear quarter panel had been replaced with silver sheet metal. It looked almost seamless, blending in with the rest of the car except for its color.
It's repaired already?
Told you. Sophia leapt into the open side door of the car. Mechanics, through and through. Tag settled into the driver's seat. His EVA suit crinkled as he did. He placed his helmet at his side and Corin hopped into the front passenger seat. The mechanic had already stowed his suit and several weapons beside him. The sight of those guns made Tag nervous.
You really need those? Tag asked.
You don't know what we'll run into out there, Corin replied.
Maybe not, but at least I'll know what I'm dealing with in here, Tag said, his voice short. I don't trust you bringing weapons aboard the ship. The last mechanics who did that massacred my crew.
I get it, Corin said, but...
We don't have time for this, Sophia said, her cheeks flushing red. Let's go, Tag.
Tag stared at her for a second, wondering how she could let Corin endanger them so easily. All the same, he relented to keeping an eye on Corin.
Where's my pulse pistol your men took?
In the back, with your rifle, Corin said, nodding back to the weapons rack within the car.
As he'd said, the mini-gauze and pulse pistol were secured in pegs on the rack. Corin grabbed the pistol and thrust it at Tag.
Take it.
Tag snagged it from the mechanic's hand and stowed it.
Happy now, boys? Sophia asked.
Neither Corin nor Tag said a word.
Let's get going then, shall we? She asked,
irritation clear in her tone. Tag pumped the accelerator for the air car. It pushed off from the ground and the mechanics watching it stepped back, clearing space for the vehicle. He unleashed the throttle and rocketed forward, careening toward the exit of the forest. Tree branches and dangling vines scratched over the roof of the car, and bright fluorescent organisms blurred by. The air car flew through the tunnel and Tag gritted his teeth, steering with deftness. His shoulder still throbbed slightly from his injury, but it was only a small distraction now. The car soon burst from the tunnel, and the glowing purple, blue, green, and pink lights of the forest were replaced with blinding white and gray. Snow and ice swirled everywhere. They blew past the frigid, towering structures of the tundra, kicking up a snowy wake. Tag stole a sideways glance. Corin stared straight ahead, his lips pinched. He seemed frightened at Tag's speed and frantic maneuvers over the perilous terrain.
Good, Tag thought. Let him be scared.
The mountains grew before them, and they drew nearer to the site of the avalanche that had almost crushed Tag. Green lightning zigzagged through the sky and winds tugged against the air car. An echoing rumble shook the car. What in the three hells? Tag's fingers wrapped tighter around the wheel. Corin gripped the armrests of his seat and Sophia grabbed an overhead handhold. He focused on closing the distance between them and the canyon. A little rolling thunder wouldn't frighten him. He'd survived worse. But the rumbling continued, even when the violent electricity cutting through the sky ceased.
What is that? Corin asked.
Tag said nothing, facing forward. A drop of sweat trickled over his brow and across his cheek.
Doesn't sound like a storm. Sophia?
I have no idea, Sophia said. None? Tag asked. You've been here for 5 years. Underground? In that jungle? I haven't been rolling around on the surface making snow angels.
The rumbling growled louder until the air car shuddered under its power. Vibrations traveled up from the wheel and into Tag's arms. He eyed the top of the canyon, studying the cliffs and peaks overlooking it. His palms grew clammy and worry bubbled through him.
Another avalanche, he offered weakly. But he saw no falling snow, no tumbling ice, no crashing rocks.
Fear wrapped its frigid fingers around his heart, squeezing it until he felt as cold as ETA-5.
It's the mechanics, isn't it? Tag asked from the corner of his mouth.
Corin shook his head vehemently. His single golden eye portrayed an uncannily human-like terror. As much as Tag distrusted the man, nothing but sincere, unadulterated fear showed in his expression.
No, we would have seen a mechanic ship by now. This sounds nothing like...
The rumbling and shaking became deafening. An explosion of ice shards and broken rocks spewed in front of them, and Tag swerved to avoid the exploding debris. A roar broke across the landscape, more frightening, more menacing than the charged fire of a battlecruiser's energy cannons. They all saw it. The source of the din, and the almost assured imminent cause of their deaths. Sophia answered the unspoken question on all their minds.
An ice god.
Chapter 37.
An enormous creature burst through the cloud of snow, ice, and earth, bearing a drill-shaped maw full of gnashing teeth and fangs thick as tree trunks. Sharp edges and fierce lines along its jaw and snout gave it a shark-like appearance. But instead of two beady black eyes, it had clusters of them around its head. Snaking tendrils, maybe antennae, hung from its pointed skull like a mane. The rest of its long snake-like body slithered from the tunnel it had been digging, revealing blue and white fur covering the length of its torso, making the behemoth blend in with the stark terrain of ETA-5. Tag froze in awe for only a brief second. He rammed the air car's throttle forward and stiffened his grip on the controls, curving madly around the monster. Maybe. Maybe if he got to the canyon, they'd lose the beast in the tight turns and narrow passages. The monster slammed onto its belly, scrambling on at least a dozen muscled legs. Its tail whipped and its jaw opened, unleashing another roar. The resulting bellow rocked the air car with a gust that rivaled the stormy winds in strength.
We need to move faster, Corin said, strangely calm now.
I'm trying, Tag shouted back. The monster's teeth loomed larger and its tongue tickled over its fangs. Its antennae, much to Tag's dismay, bent forward, reaching for the air car. He wasn't sure what those appendages did, but he wasn't eager to find out. The entrance to the gorge still appeared minuscule on the horizon, too far away for Tag's comfort, and the monster's typhoon-like breath rolled over them from mere meters away. They couldn't outrun it. Not in a straight-out sprint like this. Tag veered to the left. Sophia and Corin slammed against the side of the car, unprepared for the maneuver. The ice god slipped, carried by momentum, and crashed into an icy pillar. The structure gave way, shattering and falling in a million broken pieces as the creature scrambled to correct its trajectory and continued its dozen-leg gallop at the air car.
Get ready,
Tag shouted above the rumbling growls of the creature. He twisted the controls hard right, and they shot in a new direction. This time, the creature didn't succumb to clumsiness.
its whole body curled, cornering on the ice with gracefulness befitting a practiced dancer. 100,000-pound carnivorous dancer. Its flesh rippled with the flexing and stretching muscles powering the creature's limbs. Teeth snapped, antennae grasped desperately for the car, missing by mere meters. Tag swerved the vehicle hard to the right, abruptly changing course between a couple of snowdrifts, each larger than the Argo. Again, the monster followed, plowing through the drifts and sending a spray of white into the air. It threatened to close the gap between them and followed his every move as if it could tell where he was going. Quick turns and winding between ice and rock stalagmites wouldn't thwart it. The creature followed or simply plowed through obstacles that would have left the air car a fiery wreck. The canyon grew closer, but not close enough. Tag eyed the mini-gauze racked in the car. A desperate plan coalesced in his head. He racked his mind for better solutions but found none, with the ice god figuratively and literally breathing down the backs of their necks. Sophia, you ever drive one of these things? Maybe a decade ago? It's easy enough. Throttle here, turn here, Tag said, nodding to the controls. You serious? Deadly. Take the controls. Sophia undid her harness and grasped Corin's and Tag's seats to steady herself in the rocketing vehicle. On my count, we're switching, Tag said, still staring straight ahead between the stalagmites. 3, 2, 1, now! He jumped from the seat and Sophia flopped in. The air car shuddered, shaking and curving to the right. Sophia overcorrected the vehicle and they skimmed a stalagmite. The edge of the car chipped off a light spray of ice, but they didn't crash. The car straightened and Sophia's eyes narrowed. Her jaw clenched as a vessel bulged across her forehead. Keep heading to that canyon, Tag said, pointing straight ahead. We need to get through it. Whatever you say, she replied. A quaking jolt almost sent Tag sprawling. The creature had pounced but came up short, with only snow and ice crunched between its teeth. It had only been meters away from smashing metal and flesh between those fangs. Tag used the overhead handholds to guide himself to the weapons rack. Corin, you want to prove those guns you bought are useful? Grab your EVA suit and come on. The mechanic snatched his rifle. Tag clicked his helmet into place and Corin latched his on. You have a plan? Corin asked, his voice tinny through the suit's comms. Aim and fire, Tag replied. He closed the driver's chamber to the car, and the front cabin, along with Sophia, was separated by a shutting polyglass shield. Then he pushed open the top hatch of the air car. Freezing air rushed in around him, and his HUD reported plummeting temperatures and flashing red numbers. He poked out of the open hatch, and Corin joined him. Wind rushed against the helmet, threatening to pull him out of the car. He braced himself against it and wondered if this was all a terrible mistake. But he ignored those thoughts of self-doubt. Pressing the stock of the mini-gauze to his shoulder, he sighted up the ice god. It wasn't difficult. The colossal beast blotted out any view of the horizon beyond it. Fire! Tag yelled. He squeezed the trigger and a slug whistled from the barrel. The round punched into the creature's flesh, but the monster made no indication it had even noticed the slight injury. A salvo of bright pulse fire flew from Corin's rifle. The rounds splashed against the ice god's hide, bursting like fireworks and leaving black singes marring its fur, but none pierced the scaly white flesh beneath the thick pelt. Tag fired a flurry of powerful slugs that sliced into the creature and punctured the scales. Thin rivulets of blue blood trickled from the holes, but each wound seemed no more than a pinprick to the ice god. No amount of fire from either of their weapons persuaded the monster to turn around. Tag glanced over the front of the car. At their speed, the canyon still stood a minute, if not more, away from them. An enormous roar shook him, reverberating deep in his bones. The creature's hot breath washed over him as it snapped at the air car and Sophia jerked right. Tag lost his hold and fell, slamming into the roof. Pain burned through his ribs and he started to slide over the back of the car. Corin shot out one skinny arm and yanked Tag back into position, then promptly resumed firing. Watch yourself, Corin said. Tag grunted and shot another useless slug into the creature. It's It's like we're throwing pebbles at the damn thing. The creature kicked up snow, ice, and rocks as it continued biting and slashing at the air, its antennae brushing over the rear of the car. The monstrosity raced close enough that Tag could make out each individual strand of fur, each crack in its serrated teeth, and every haunting black eye. Those dozens of eyes now locked on to Tag. The beast's jaw opened wider, its whale-sized tongue tickling the roof of its mouth as if to tease Tag and beckon him to jump into its grinding maw. "What do we do?" Corin said, his voice strangely emotionless, as if he had resigned himself to the increasingly likely chance they were about to die. Tag readjusted his grip on the mini-gauze. The ice god let out another rattling bellow, and globs of spittle splashed over the air car, but Tag's determination only grew. This monster might be a god to the Forinths, but he knew better. He was a medical officer, a trained scientist. This was no god. It was a creature, a monster, a beast. And those things didn't live on indefinitely, meddling in immortality. No. Those things died. And Tag would make sure this one did. Chapter 38. "Go for the eyes," Tag yelled, readjusting his aim. He sent a salvo of slugs flying for the creature's craven eyes. Several shots punctured the white scales covering its skull, but more connected with the small black orbs, each hit with a sickening pop. Viscous fluid oozed from the wound, and the creature winced. For the first time, it had shown a reaction to the puny fire from Tag and Corin. Tag's confidence swelled. It was mortal, after all. It felt pain. It feared death. Corin straightened, his orange visor glowing against his black suit, and he fired a long volley of pulse rounds. The rounds spattered the creature's face, burning fur and bursting eyeballs. The monster recoiled and tumbled over its muscular limbs. Another roar flew from its mouth, but this one sounded more agonized than angry. Its head twisted and it renewed its charge, but the firing had afforded the aircar precious seconds. "More!" Tag commanded, squeezing the trigger again and again. "More!" No vocal acknowledgement came from Corin's comms. Instead, the mechanic dropped his rifle. Small barrels protruded from his wrist-mounted guns, and he raised his arms. Each gun exploded to life with a stream of screaming, rapid pulse fire that formed craters in the ice god's eye sockets. More black liquid gushed from its sightless eyes and stained its fur. Each connecting shot made the creature falter. Its tongue lolled out the side of its mouth, and its steps grew staggered. It wasn't dying, Tag was sure of that, but it was hurting. He recognized the actions of the predator. Its simple mind was contemplating the benefits of continuing the pursuit of prey or rushing back to its underground home to lick its wounds. It settled on the former. Its legs pumped faster and its body waved. The ground shook under its heavy, galloping gait as ice and rock spires exploded when the beast slammed through them. The air car sped closer to the canyon, now only seconds away. And still the monster caught up to them again. "No," Tag said, sighting the ice god. "Not today." The monster opened its mouth to bellow or snap. Tag wasn't sure, and he never gave the creature a chance to show him. He fired a half dozen slugs. The rounds punched through the roof of the monster's mouth, sending its jaws slamming shut, and it fell face first. Carried by its momentum, the creature's body crashed forward, gouging up earth and ice. The air car shot onward to escape in the safety of the gully. The ice god shook itself off, sending small quakes rumbling through the canyon walls, and threw itself against the entrance of the canyon. Snow and ice tumbled over the car, but with the recent avalanche, most of the loose debris had already piled on the canyon bed. The creature crashed against the canyon's entrance while it let loose a frustrated roar. Sophia pushed the air car forward, never letting up on the throttle, and the slamming and roaring were lost in the distance. Tag and Corin slipped back inside, and Tag punched a button to close the top hatch. He racked the mini-gauze. "Nice shooting," Tag said to Corin. He might not trust the mechanic, but the alien had at least helped them survive for a bit longer. "The honor is equally yours," Corin replied in his slightly stilted accent. Another button push opened the driver's compartment, and Tag undid his helmet from his EVA suit. Corin started to settle into one of the rear passenger seats.
Oh, no you don't, Tag said, gesturing to the front seat. I'd rather you not be sitting at my back with a gun.
Corin stared coldly at Tag, but took the front passenger seat anyway. Tag stood behind Sophia and Corin, gripping an overhead handhold. The car swerved back and forth around piles of dumped snow and rocks, winding between the stalagmites.
It's a bit rougher than when I first came through, Tag said.
Sophia pulled back on the controls and the car climbed a new hill that had been formed by boulders and snow from the avalanche.
No kidding, she muttered with tight-pressed lips. Wrecking the landscape and angering the ice gods? ETA 5 will be a better place when we get you off it.
Corin's thin lips seemed to curl slightly at the corners. A mischievous grin, maybe.
But didn't the Forents warn you about the ice gods before we left? Are you sure they didn't know something? Tag asked.
They warn everyone about the ice gods. I told you that drum wasn't just a superstition. I'm betting it heard that little shootout between you and the mechanics. Probably decided to wait around outside for something to show up again.
Great, Tag said. Any chance we'll find one by the Argo?
Sure, there's a chance, Sophia said.
Then she glared at Corin.
Might be a better chance of slipping around unnoticed since you don't have trigger-happy mechanics firing on your car, though.
Tag grinned this time. Sophia's ire wasn't indiscriminate in its target.
We thought he might be a drone mech scout, Corin said.
Your guards mixed up a lowly human vehicle for one of your all-powerful, far superior technologies? She asked, her tone dripping in condescension.
They continued silently. Snowflakes drifted and curled around them, dancing on the wind.
Hazy light shimmered through the cloud coverage and gleamed off the walls of sheer ice, tinging them in a slight blue glow. Green lightning cracked, followed by distant waves of rolling thunder. The tension between the trio was as thick as the perpetual storm encompassing ETA 5.
Tag realized his mistake in those silence-filled moments.
He'd been so skeptical of Corin that he had been difficult to appreciate the mechanic's importance, and despite Tag's distrust, Corin had come to the Argo alone, with no protection from his comrades, placing his fate in Tag's hands, just as Sophia had. Even if he didn't yet trust them, they'd demonstrated their confidence in him. His thoughts whirled back to the empty bridge of the Argo, back to the days when he'd lost his chance at flight officer training. He might not have had the training necessary to take the helm, but he had learned enough to know at least one crucial element of leadership. A leader worked with the team he had, with the goal of unity, not division. And all he'd done to his small team was break it apart. Pit them against him, pit them against each other. That wouldn't help him get off this planet. And most importantly, it wouldn't help him return to the Montenegro and warn the SRE of the lurking dangers in the ETA system. He straightened as the car exited the canyon and flew over the open, rolling tundra. A small map on the holoscreen indicated their position in relation to a single red glowing dot labeled Argo. Soon they'd be back aboard the ship, and Tag knew things needed to change with his ragtag crew. Corin tilted his head, his brow furrowed over his good eye.
I'm getting a transmission.
He listened for a few more seconds.
Reports indicate another ship has entered ETA-5's atmosphere.
This isn't good, Tag said.
Not at all, Sophia agreed.
Scratch that. It was a mistake, Corin said.
Momentary relief washed through Tag.
Good. Was it a sensor error?
Yes, Corin said. It wasn't one ship. It was six more.
Dread bored its way through Tag, replacing any semblance of transient relief. Things needed to change with his crew. Fast.
Chapter 39. Three hells, Tag said, watching their dot on the holoscreen drawing nearer to the Argo at a painfully slow pace. Any ships headed our direction?
Looks like it, Corin said. But we should reach the Argo before they reach us.
But it's not like that's any safer, Sophia said. The mechanic sensors can still find it.
Correct, Corin replied. Does your ship have any anti-LIDAR or radar measures?
Tag nodded. Of course.
Even if they're rudimentary, I should be able to throw together a quick masking algorithm that makes the Argo look like a chunk of rock rather than a starship. I don't promise that it will be perfect, and we should prepare for a potential boarding. But it may, as you say, buy us some time.
Any time you can give us is time we didn't have before, Tag said. He thought to try his new tactic of bringing his unexpected team together rather than driving them apart.
Thank you.
Corin cocked his head quizzically, regarding Tag with his single golden eye. He seemed surprised at the appreciation. Tag didn't acknowledge the alien's shock. It had been difficult enough to utter a thank you to the man from an alien race that had slaughtered his crew.
Tag gestured over the holoscreen's map, and it zoomed out to allow an expanded view of ETA-5. Can you have the coordinates of the ships transmitted to us?
Of course, Corin said. We can make that happen.
He relayed the request through his comms. A moment later, 7 red dots, 6 representing the recent batch of ships and 1 for the original search vessel, glowed on various spots of ETA-5. None appeared on a direct trajectory to the Argo. Corin seemed to sense Tag's relief, gestured to the nearest ships.
It appears we may have more than enough time for me to execute the camouflaging algorithms. That is, if your computer systems cooperate.
AI is completely down, so the whole ship is one big dumb computer. You'll have free rein.
Tag wondered whether that would be a good thing or not.
Look at you two, Sophia said. Getting along now. All it took was an ice god to bring you together, huh?
We'll see, Tag said, staring straight ahead through the air car's windshield. They glided past more towering structures. The wind calmed, and although the dark skies remained covered in dense gray clouds, no more green lightning flashed.
The remainder of the trip to the site of the crashed Argo went smoothly, and soon they sat on top of the spot where the map indicated the ship should be.
You sure you left her here? Sophia asked, gazing over the white expanse.
There might be a bit more snow on her than when I left, Tag said.
I'm not one to turn down a hard job, but I'm not sure we'll be able to shovel our way out of this one.
Corin adjusted his wrist-mounted weapons. A small pilot light sparked from one.
I can melt a way through.
You got a goddamned flamethrower on that thing? Tag asked, unable to hide his surprise.
Guilt trickled through him at his unabashed admission of admiration for the mechanic tech.
Absolutely. Standard armament.
Tag pushed aside his boyish enthusiasm for the weapon. As much as he would like to see the flamethrower in action, logic proved too powerful a force to ignore. He knew a more effective way to cut through the ice and snow, and he'd already done it once with the Argo.
Sophia, I'm going to need that seat back.
She's all yours, Captain, Sophia said, giving him a wink.
Tag took the seat. He almost ignored the slight ribbing. But Sophia was right. He actually was the captain of the Argo now. He was the highest ranking, not to mention only officer left on the ship's manifest. It was his ship now, and he didn't want to waste time melting snow with a small flamethrower before fulfilling his duty to its repair and, hopefully, impending flight. A quick switch on the air car's dash let Tag engage the miniature fusion reactor overrides.
What are you doing? Corin demanded. You're going to kill us.
Tag, I know you don't like Corin, but you don't need to bring me into the middle of this, Sophia exclaimed, alarmed.
Trust me, Tag said. He let the small reactor overheat. A red emergency warning flashed across the car's holoscreen, and alarms screeched. Corin pressed his thin hands over the earholes in the sides of his head.
What are you doing? Turn off the manual override.
Hold on, Tag said, waiting as he watched the temperature reading spike. Then he punched another command. The reactors vented all the overcharged power to the miniature grav impellers the car used to float above the ground. The impellers were only a minuscule fraction as strong as the Argo's, but they still provided the desired effect. The extra energy coursing through them released as thermal energy, a safety mechanism to prevent catastrophic overloading. As they heated, the snow underneath them melted like an ice cube in the desert,
and the air car started to fall as the snow and ice gave way. Gravity took hold, pulling it down, and Tag felt his stomach flip. They plummeted for a second, then abruptly came to a stop. The car had pierced through a 20-meter layer of snow and ice. Beneath them lay a sheet of silver gray, the Argo's hull. Tag squinted, examining the smooth alloy, and tried to imagine what the rest of the ship looked like, guessing where the hatch to the cargo bay might lie.
Corin, maybe it's time to use that, Tag indicated the wrist-mounted weapon.
Delighted to do it, Corin said.
His expression certainly didn't appear delighted, but he stood and locked his EVA suit's helmet back into place.
Sophia?
Tag clicked his helmet back on, and Sophia took his spot in the driver's seat. Once again, he closed the driver's compartment, then unlatched the upper hatch of the car. He and Corin climbed out.
Ready? Tag asked, his voice emanating through the suit's external speakers.
Corin nodded, and Tag pointed to a swath of snow slightly to the left of the car. A tongue of white-hot fire rolled out of Corin's wrist-mounted gun like dragon's breath. It made short work of the snow, clearing away a tunnel.
Good, Tag said. He slid off the top of the car into the freshly cleared patch.
Water dripped overhead, pattering against his suit and the Argo, and he pointed to another section of snow. More flames cut through it to reveal another shining segment of the Argo. More water streamed over him and the ship. He whispered a silent prayer to himself that the tunnel they were digging wouldn't collapse in on itself and bury him with his ship.
There, Tag said. More flames, more gleaming hull.
The red, orange, and white glow of the flamethrower reflected off the Argo's smooth curve. Light from the flames soaked into the snow around the tunnel, Corin formed, casting the whole area in the shades of a brilliant sunset. Then the rounded edge of the Argo appeared. He faced the air car's windshield.
Sophia, you ready?
Ready and waiting,
her voice called back through the comms. Bring her forward. Tag motioned with his hands to guide the air car through the narrow space.
Corin continued spurting flames to make room for the vehicle. Wind funneled through the tunnel and howled around them, and snow groaned, shifting overhead.
More water splattered over the air car, and the side of it ground against one wall.
Careful! Tag shouted.
But it was already too late. Snow poured in behind the car, and the tunnel collapsed behind them. Darkness enveloped them, and Tag crouched, his hands over the back of his neck, pangs of anxiety twisted in his gut. The sound of shifting snow quieted. He was still alive. He breathed a shallow sigh of relief and stood, his knees shaking. Bright lights washed over him. Sophia had flicked on the headlights of the air car. The tunnel in front of them hadn't crumbled. Her voice came over the comms and echoed in Tag's helmet.
Well, at least I covered our tracks. The drone mechs are going to have a hard time finding us now.
Corin slowly stood, unraveling his lanky frame. The pilot light on his wrist-mounted guns sparked to life again.
I wouldn't be so sure about that.
Chapter 40. The pilot light burned menacingly, flickering over Corin's face and giving the power-suited mechanic a ghastly appearance. Tag's heart pounded faster as he wondered what Corin had planned for them. With a shudder, he reached for his holster.
What do you mean?
20 meters of snow isn't enough to throw off a mechanic ship's radar or LIDAR. A hulking piece of alloy like this? He stomped on the hull of the Argo for emphasis. It's going to shine brighter on the enemy's holoscreens than any plant in the Forest of Light. Tag's hand inched back from his holster, and his heart settled, contemplating the mechanic's choice of words. Already referring to the unidentified ships as enemies without even bothering to contact them, either he was dedicated to this ploy, or he really had lost hope in the fate of the rest of his species.
Then let's get you inside. Cargo bay hatch should be right there.
Flames billowed from Corin's wrist-mounted weapons and melted through the snow where Tag had indicated. Once the slush had given way, he leapt down and his boots sank into soft snow and puddles of water, already freezing. Sure enough, the hatch stood before him. He punched in a command on an external terminal. The doors hissed open.
We're in!
He trod into the compromised cargo bay, still filled with snowdrifts from the punctures in the hull. Corin came in next, and his orange visor swiveled, panning across the darkened ship.
taking in the ice-covered crates and pipes. Looks like your cargo bay took some damage during your fight with the drone mechs.
It took all your mechanic intellect to figure that one out? Tag asked.
Corin let out an audible grunt that echoed from his helmet speakers. You know, we've really got to get your comms synced to ours, Tag said. I'd rather hear your disgust through my helm comms than echoing out into the hold. Corin held up a hand in a dismissive gesture. Sophia, you ready to bring that car down here?
Copy, her voice called back. Am I clear for landing?
Clear, Tag said.
Geronimo, she called.
The air car dropped. Its grav impellers caught the snow, but the fall was too great. The bottom of the car smashed against the snow and sent a wave of white clouds pluming around it. Its headlights lit up the hold, and once its impellers sent it hovering again, Sophia guided the car in. Tag closed the hatch after the air car shut off and settled on the deck. Sophia climbed out from the vehicle and joined the other two. Welcome to the Argo, Tag said when she joined him and Corin. Don't have time for a tour, so let's get to the bridge. Agreed, Corin said. Reports indicate we've got only a couple of hours before the first contact reaches sensor proximity. Tag led the trio up the ladders and into the passageways. Once inside, he punched a command on a nearby terminal. Lights buzzed on and illuminated the gleaming bulkhead and deck. He took his helmet off and sucked in a breath of clean, life support scrubbed air. Sophia removed her helmet, as did Corin. It's strange to breathe without smelling the flora and fauna of the jungle, Sophia said as they jogged through the passage. So sterile. Reminds me of home on the Dorado station. Corin's nostrils dilated. I smell blood on the air. You weren't exaggerating the death here. No, of course I wasn't. Tag didn't smell anything. The scrubbers had seemed to take care of freshening the air enough for human standards, but he supposed the mechanic might have a more refined sense of smell. It fit his snake-like countenance. They reached the hatch to the bridge and filed in. Where's your op station? Corin asked, scanning the terminals and displays. There, Tag pointed to a chair in front of a holoscreen. Corin settled in. Need me to log you into the systems? Corin let out a huff that sounded like a pedantic chortle. No, I'm already in. This should be a relatively short procedure, but before I begin, I want to keep watch on our friends in the sky. A hollow projection glowed to life in the center of the bridge. It glimmered, coalescing into the massive globe of ETA-5. Red dots indicated the positions of the drone mech ships. Wider circles formed perimeters around each, demonstrating the estimated sensor reach of the ships. Can you tell me how long this will take? Tag asked. Without AI help, it'll be at least an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. That's cutting it close, Sophia said, and I'm guessing it'll take even longer to reverse the AI virus the drone mechs installed. That would be accurate, Corin said. It'll take me much longer to unravel the mess they made, so trying to restore the AI systems in order to expedite the anti-LIDAR and radar system adjustments would be counterproductive. Fair enough, Tag said. Get to work. His eyes were fixed on the hollow screen tracking Corin's work. Words, numbers, and commands flew through the display. Tag tried to follow along, but his rudimentary programming skills from working with synth-bio AIs weren't enough. Corin seemed to have no problem wading through the human-created algorithms and software. All six fingers on each hand worked the terminal with determined speed. If this adjustment took Corin almost 2 hours, he hated to guess how long it would take him and Sophia to fudge through these changes, even if they knew what they were doing. Sophia didn't seem quite as impressed as Tag was. She wandered around the bridge, examining different displays. Kneeling, she picked up a shred of cloth. It looked to be from a bridge officer's uniform. She pinched it between her fingers, rolling it up. Can't believe they're all gone, she said. It's one thing to hear about this, but being here makes it so much more real. Tag didn't say anything, still too interested in supervising Corin's work to engage in fruitless conversation. As the minutes passed, one of the drone mech ships continued its search pattern. It was drawing dangerously close to the Argo. They had an hour now before they would be in sensor range. He hated relying on Corin to save the ship and them. There had to be something he could do, something to ensure they'd escape the probing LIDAR and radar of the drone mechs.
You said an AI system could speed things up? Tag asked Corin.
Almost certainly.
Okay, I might have something for you then. Be back soon.
Corin merely nodded, his fingers dancing across the terminal and his eyes locked on the holoscreen. Tag felt Sophia's eyes on him until he reached the hatch, then jogged down the corridor back to the medbay, back to where he'd left Alpha One. The hatch to the bay opened, and he leapt in, rushing to the lab and enduring the lengthy air wash of the decon chamber. Once the hatch opened, he scanned the space. It was exactly as he had left it. Terminals buzzing, lab equipment spilled and smashed from his struggle with Alpha One, cables stretched to upload data into the synth biolifeform. But those cables led nowhere. Alpha One was missing.
Chapter 41. Tag rubbed his eyes, unable to believe what lay in front of him.
No, he muttered. No, no, no!
The cables he'd linked to Alpha One's data ports dangled uselessly from the terminal. The wrist and ankle restraints were splayed and ripped. He spun, searching the small room, but saw no sign of the bot. Where had it gone? He exited through the decon chamber and scoured the medbay for some clue, but again, no evidence of the silver droid appeared anywhere. His heart climbed into his throat as possible explanations circled his mind. He felt at once helpless and slightly frightened. Had someone come aboard the ship while he was stuck in that underground jungle? Maybe the drone mechs had already found the Argo, and this whole thing was a setup. Three hells, for that matter, maybe Corin had sent scouts to the ship prior to their arrival. No, he tried to assure himself he was just being paranoid, but his self-assurances did little to assuage his pounding heart and the adrenaline already pumping through his veins. The drone mechs had fooled him once, and anxiety proved too strong a persuader against the logical voice telling him they were dead. He'd killed them, made sure of it, and they weren't coming back. His apprehension got the better of him, and he rushed through the passageways and skittered down the ladders to the brig. Sweat matted his shirt to his back, and he panted, breathing heavily. He punched in the commands to open the brig, and the hatch hissed back, revealing the polyglass chamber where the three suited bodies of the mechanics still resided. All three still appeared dead, soaking in puddles of their own blood. Good, Tag thought, catching his breath. He combed his fingers through his sweat-matted hair. But one question still haunted him. Alpha One, where are you? He racked his mind for answers, but none came. None until the ship's comms buzzed. Sophia's voice, uncharacteristically nervous and timid, broke over the intra-ship speakers.
Tag, we need you on the bridge.
An uneasy feeling overcame him. He feared they'd already found Alpha. All his bruises and injuries from his struggle with the unevolved AI system seemed to radiate with fresh pain as he ran through the passageway, and each loping step sent shudders through his aching jaw and battered ribs. He'd barely been able to subdue the droid before. What would he do now that he'd uploaded an entire ship's worth of knowledge into the monster he'd created? The answer came soon enough. He burst into the bridge. Corin was standing in submission, his thin arms raised in the air. Next to him, Sophia mirrored his pose. Neither looked in his direction. Instead, they stared fixedly at something else, something he couldn't see yet. He took a few more timid steps, reached for his sidearm, then pulled out his pulse pistol and held it before him. His heartbeat thumped in his eardrums with a heavy beat of the fourth drum used to keep the ice gods out, and he sucked in a deep breath as he spun to face what Corin and Sophia were surrendering to. Alpha One. The silver medical droid had a mini-gauze shouldered and aimed at Sophia and Corin. It peered down the rifle in a distinctly human fashion while its faux eyes and mouth remained motionless. Tag raised the pulse pistol and pointed it at Alpha One's center of mass, The droid didn't seem to notice. Put down your weapon, Alpha.
Captain, the former medbay droid said in a crisp, clear English with a distinctly feminine voice. We have intruders. The pistol never strayed from Alpha, but a tinge of curiosity and pride, maybe, coursed through Tag. His creation was calm, collected, a far cry from the writhing, angry monster it had been before. These are welcome guests, Alpha.
Are you certain, Captain?
Not exactly, Tag thought, considering Corrin, but all he said was, yes.
Alpha's weapon wavered slightly, but its aim moved to Corrin and remained on the mechanic.
Are you sure this one is not an enemy? Alpha said. According to your reports and the bodies I found in the brig, this life form matches those of the pirates.
I understand, Alpha, Tag said, willing his voice to stay as calm as the droid's. But this one is helping us.
Alpha took a step forward and Corrin tensed. Then the droid lowered its weapon, slinging the strap around its shoulder and closed the distance between the mechanic and itself. Its hand shot out and Corrin winced.
I am Alpha One, it said, offering its silver digits for a handshake. I apologize for the misunderstanding. I am very pleased to meet you.
Corrin took the bot's hand timidly.
Corrin.
Alpha swiveled to Sophia.
Alpha One.
Sophia. Great. Tag clapped his hands together, his nerves still barking from the tense excitement. So many questions flowed through his mind, but none were more immediate or crucial than the one he asked. Corrin, how's the progress?
I was doing fine until it, he gestured to Alpha, interrupted my work.
Corrin paused.
Interesting creation.
Tag wasn't sure if he detected sarcasm or actual admiration in Corrin's tone. He decided it wasn't important either way.
Get back to it, then.
The nearest drone mech ship was now only a half hour from sensor detection distance.
I am not an it, Alpha chimed in.
Sorry, Tag said.
I am not an it, Alpha said more decisively. The cells you used in my synthetic organ system contain the XX chromosomes typical of a human female. Thus, I am a female.
And if I am to understand your intent, I am a sentient being. As such, human custom dictates other sentient life forms regard me as a person, not an object. The proper pronoun would be she. Corrin should say he was doing fine until she interrupted his work.
Duly noted, Corrin said. My apologies, Alpha.
And thank the gods, Sophia said. We could use another woman around here to deal with these two dunces.
Alpha glanced between the others, evidently not quite understanding Sophia's implications.
Don't worry about it, Tag said to Alpha. I'd really like to talk with you more about what you've been up to. I have a lot to ask you, but right now we're trying to escape from some very dangerous enemies.
He summarized their plight with the drone mechs and their certain capture or death if they didn't ensure the ship was concealed by the anti-sensor strategies. Each moment he spoke, he grew increasingly impressed by the intelligence emanating from the droid's understanding eyes.
You think you can help Corrin?
The droid nodded.
I believe so.
She stood behind the mechanic and watched him for several minutes in silence. Anticipation swelled in Tag as he waited for her to do something, anything, to expedite their escape from the encroaching drone mech sensors. Then she sat next to him in a neighboring seat, and her fingers dashed across the terminal.
This is correct, isn't it?
Corrin's good eye went wide.
Yes, that's exactly right.
The two worked in tandem. Corrin hunched over his keyboard, rewriting code and redefining algorithms. His velvety fur became slicked and matted to his head by sweat. Alpha showed no signs of distress or urgency other than the rapidity at which her fingers worked.
With 15 minutes until the drone mechs reached sensor range, Alpha and Corin's commands and inputs still sprinted across the holoscreens. The silence, interspersed with the rattle of fingers against terminals, dragged on as Tag and Sophia stared intently at the map on the holo projection.
"We're looking at imminent first contact," Sophia said. She paced near the rotating holo projection, her eyes glued to the blip signifying the drone mech ship.
"What's the status on the anti-sensor systems?" Tag asked. Corin didn't say a word, too engrossed by his work. He seemed to be working more frantically, with his jaw clenched and his back hunched as he typed and gestured over the terminal. His good eye scanned back and forth over the lines of code.
"We are minutes from completion," Alpha said, her voice conveying only rigid coolness.
"Good, because minutes are all we have left," Sophia said. She wrung her hands together. "Should we arm the Argo's weapons?"
Tag shook his head as he scrolled through status reports at the captain's station.
"Doesn't look good."